So we are in a series looking, this is message number two, looking at the reality of the kingdom of God through Jesus' kingdom parables. Parables are illustrative stories that Jesus told. That's one of the key ways that Jesus taught. So he would go around telling stories that were analogies or stories that would give us a picture of what something is like. And so Jesus went around teaching about the kingdom and using a lot of parables to do it. Before Jesus' birth, for those maybe in the room who just, when you hear the phrase, the kingdom of God, it's like, you know, you're not sure what we're talking about. Before Jesus' birth, God had been working from outside of our reality by sending his word to prophets to point people to him. But for thousands of years, God had promised that a different kind of leader would come who would be king and Messiah and would bring salvation to the earth. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, God, veiled in the skin of a little baby, entered, broke into our world. And the kingdom of heaven arrived with the birth of Jesus. Kingdom of heaven broke into God's realm, broke into our realm. Something started that has been growing and affecting the world ever since. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, it's not fully here, and it won't be fully here until Jesus returns and brings heaven with him. Some of you have heard me say this lots of times before, but the gospel, the good news, is not that if you believe in Jesus, it's not so one-dimensional as to say that if you believe in Jesus, when you die, you will go to heaven. But it's that Jesus came into this world to bring the rule and reign of God into the darkness of our sin and our mess. And if you and we trust in Jesus and await his return, Jesus is going to bring all heaven with him. And this mess that we call planet Earth is going to be swallowed up in the victory of heaven. It's going to be changed and transformed when heaven comes, right? And so the rule of Jesus' kingdom is Jesus at work now preparing the earth for that day when he comes. And so Jesus tells these stories, these parables, that often begin with the kingdom of heaven is like, and then he'll tell a story, right? The kingdom of heaven is like, right? So yeah, what is the kingdom of heaven like? What is the kingdom of heaven like? We can wonder, even just here on earth, what is Ukraine like? Right? What is it like to live in Iran or China? Right? We've heard stories, we can imagine, but we have no idea what it's really like to be in those countries because they are so different from Canada. Good old Canada, right? So different that we can't even imagine. And so the night that we arrived at the Harare Airport in Zimbabwe in 2009, it was during the middle of a politically volatile season in the country of Zimbabwe. Robert Mugabe was still alive, and he had been the dictatorial leader, the dictator of Zimbabwe for 30 years. And we arrived at the airport at 3 o'clock in the morning, well, probably about 2 o'clock in the morning. We got finally through security at about 3 o'clock in the morning. And we're standing outside loading luggage into trucks at 3 o'clock in the morning. And one of the people on our team asked our hosts some questions about why was security so difficult, and it was just asking questions that would be normal questions for us to ask here, like what was going on with that, and we all got shushed right away. Shh, we'll talk about it later, because they said you never know who might be a spy for the government, and you do not ask questions contradicting the government in public. You just don't do it. So we were shushed, piled into the trucks. We start driving across the city from one end of the city to the other, huge city. And 3 o'clock in the morning, as we approach the first red light, the driver hits the gas, goes right through. And we get to the next red light, and they go right through. And we're like, what's going on? How come he's running all the red lights? And they said, no, you don't understand. In Harare, you don't stop at red lights at 3 o'clock in the morning, because you will be carjacked. You'll be pulled out of your car. You'll be robbed by bandits. Something's going to happen. You just don't stop at stoplights at 3 o'clock in the morning. So we go a little further, and police lights. They pull us over, and they said, be ready for anything. Because oftentimes the police will pull people over, and they will have been paid off by the bandits. And they could come out of the woods, come out of the trees, and attack us. Like, we need to be on guard for anything. At the very least, the police are stopping us for a bribe so that they'll let us go, right? So we're not 1 hour into this country where we've never been, and we realize that this is nothing like anything we've ever experienced in our culture, in our country. We are not in Canada anymore. Kansas, right? We're not in Canada anymore. And so when you don't know the culture and environment of another place, you can't just imagine what it would be like, right? In fact, Jesus said, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again, right? Now, what John was saying is not what we think he was saying. He wasn't saying no one gets to go to heaven unless you're born again. That's not what he's saying in the context of this passage. He's saying no one can see the kingdom of God at work around you. No one knows what the kingdom of God is like unless they are born again, unless they are born into the kingdom. It's a mystery to anyone who's not actually entered into the kingdom. You can't understand the kingdom. Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 26. Excuse me. I'm going to read two parables here that Jesus tells. Verse 26, he also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. Oop. Let's do this. This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. Again, he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like, or what parable shall we use to describe it? It's like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on the earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. When Jesus goes to describe the kingdom of God to people, rather than describe what we might imagine, what might make sense, somebody's going to describe a kingdom, rather than describe a powerful king sitting on a throne, rather than describe armies and chariots and impressive castles, right? Jesus instead picks up a seed. That's just bizarre, right? Jesus, tell me what the kingdom is like. And he picks up a seed. That in itself is a powerful statement about how different this kingdom, the kingdom of Jesus, is from the kingdoms of this world, right? Kingdoms of this world are about competition and control, about forcing other people to bow to the king. They're about zero-sum games. I win, you lose. The kingdom of God is about something entirely different and works by very different principles and values. Even the disciples believed that Jesus' kingdom was going to start with a military revolution against Rome, and that they were just going to replace Caesar with Jesus. Right? They even asked after Jesus' resurrection. They've been with him for 3 years. They've watched his death and resurrection, and they still don't totally get it. Right? After his resurrection, in Acts chapter 1, they ask, Jesus, are you finally now going to restore the kingdom to Israel? They didn't understand that the kingdom of God is not a political reality, but the entrance of God's heavenly culture into the world, one seed at a time. And that the world would be overthrown, not by a show of force, but from within. From one life at a time being transformed by the kingdom seed in our hearts. A seed. What is in a seed? Why a seed? It's a bit of genetic material wrapped in a husk. And there is all the information in this little seed that is needed to produce a full-grown, mature plant, which produces more seeds, each of which will produce more plants, which will produce more seeds. In fact, if you look at a seed, the growth potential in one little seed is basically limitless. Right? All in one little seed. In fact, Jesus spoke of his own death and burial being a planting of a kingdom seed that was about to produce incredible fruit. In John 12, verse 23, Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls in the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." The miracle of how the explosive potential of growth is packed into a little tiny seed, seemingly insignificant, is exactly the right way to talk about the kingdom of God. When Jesus' kingdom seed is planted in the heart of one seemingly insignificant person, me and you, when his kingdom seed is planted in the heart of one seemingly insignificant person, and his kingdom life begins to grow inside of us, not only does it have the power to change my heart into something completely new, but through my life, through your life, more seeds come, more lives are touched. And it's how Jesus' kingdom works. Writing about this parable that we read, Dallas Willard says that a simple seed has the power to organize reality. It says this: the seed is a power to organize reality. Please think about that for a moment, he said. When you put that little seed down in the earth, it's already packed with potent substances. The power contained within it cracks the shell of the seed and puts out a little root. That little root starts eating dirt, eventually putting out a little leaf, and then more leaves, and then fruit. The seed has organized reality in a specific and defined way to make a watermelon out of dirt, water, and sunlight. That's why the Logos, the Word, is aptly portrayed as a seed. It is a spiritual power to organize reality. Wow. So many of Jesus' parables about the kingdom had to do with seeds, and today will not be the last time we're going to talk about seeds in this series. But the kingdom of God at work in a heart, that should say patient process, but I changed the title of the slide and then I forgot to change it. So in your notes, it should say patient process. The life in the seed grows without the effort of the planter, right? This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up. The seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. The seed grows without the effort of the planter. We cannot make kingdom seeds grow in people's lives. right? We can't make them grow. Our job is to plant seeds. Just keep planting seeds. Interesting. I'm not going to embarrass anybody or single anyone out in the room today, but someone who was visiting this morning told me that they were asked by four different people from our church, invited to our church. You guys are doing, you're doing it. You're planting seeds. I caught you planting seeds. That's awesome, right? You're planting seeds. That's our job every day, is to plant seeds wherever we go. We plant by smiling at someone and saying, God bless you. Just a tiny little seed. We plant a seed by helping someone in need and telling them that Jesus loves them. We plant a seed even just by living faithfully and passionately, living out our faith before our friends and our neighbors and our coworkers. It's not our job to make seeds grow. It's our job to plant seeds. We can't twist anyone's arm into the kingdom. We can't argue anyone into the kingdom. They need a revelation of Jesus to come into the kingdom. And that's not my job or yours. It's the work of the Spirit of God as He works on that seed, that kingdom seed that we've planted in their lives, right? It's not helpful to preach at them constantly, drive them crazy, thumping them with a Bible, right? But we patiently let the Spirit of God from the inside work, do the work that He does on seeds. And lo and behold, the seed starts to grow. The root sprouts. The plant of the kingdom begins to grow in their hearts unexpectedly. We have no idea how many kingdom seeds are out there sown in our community. No idea. We have no idea how much bigger the work of God is than we think. God doesn't just work on Sunday mornings at 10:30. Did you know that? Right? But He's at work in the dark places of our city, in places you don't even want to go, but He's at work in those places because seeds have been planted in someone's heart. He's working in schools and homes and neighborhoods that we never would have guessed because kingdom seed has been sown. The parable says that it grows night or day, whether we sleep or whether we get up. Do you know that the kingdom doesn't need your permission or supervision to grow? Right? God wants your partnership. He wants you to partner with Him by planting seeds. But He doesn't need your permission, and His Spirit is always working. Always working. And that is good news for seed planters. Amen? It is good news that the Spirit of God is at work, watering and working in the seeds that you have sown. It is good news for those of you who have sown seed in the lives of your children and your grandchildren, believing that God would do something in their lives. And some days it just looks like nothing's happening, but the Spirit of God never stops working on those seeds. The kingdom seed might be dormant, but it's there. Be patient. Keep praying, keep watering it in prayer, and watch what God will do. It says, the parable says, the seed sprouts and grows though he does not know how. The growth of the kingdom and how and why God chooses to work and when he chooses to work on this life or that life is such a mystery. We don't know how the kingdom seed grows any more than the farmer knows how the seed that he has planted grows. He just knows that he can trust that if he's sown a seed and he is patient, there will be a harvest. Grows by itself. Growth. Again, your note pages should say growth is from God. Changed it in my notes. Didn't change it there. Growth is from God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Paul says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. It's God that does the growth. It's God that is growing his kingdom in your heart, even right now. Kingdom seed is not done its growth and its work in your life. You are not done being transformed into the kingdom person God wants you to be. Right? And it's God that does that work in our hearts as we surrender to him, submit to him, as we make room for him, like we sang about. We stop resisting the growth. No, 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 don't grow, right? That seems like a foolish thing to do, but we do it. I don't want to grow in that area. But when we cooperate with the growth of the Spirit of what he's growing in us, it's God that makes it grow. Jesus says, all by itself, the soil produces grain. And we know that's not true, but it's what it seems like, right? When you look at a field that's been planted, and it's just a brown, muddy, dirty field, and then you give it a week, and then all of a sudden, all by itself. The Greek word there is automate. Automatically, right? The dirt just starts growing plants. It's like, where did that come from? Out of nowhere, there was no life, and suddenly there's life. It's really what it must have seemed like for the first two or three centuries of the early church. Acts 2:47 says, and God added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. He made the kingdom seed grow, right? God added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. There were 120 people in the upper room received the power of the Holy Spirit upon their lives. And within three decades, there were churches in every major city in the Roman Empire. And within 300 years, there were more Christians than pagans in the Roman Empire. It had become the largest movement in the world in 300 years. Not because apostles and bishops and leaders schemed and planned and did church growth seminars and this and that, but because the Spirit of God made the seed grow. Right? The world we live in today is becoming more and more like the pagan pre-Christian culture of the Roman Empire. What great soil for a real Jesus movement to take root, for a kingdom movement to take root, to do something new and fresh in our nation and in this world. And God is doing it. He's doing it in some of the hardest places in the world. You've heard me say before, the fastest growing church in the world right now is in Iran, where people will be imprisoned and put to death if they're found to have converted to Christianity. And yet the church is exploding. The world is ripe for a movement of true Jesus followers. Dietrich Bonhoeffer once said, "Why should it always have to be the bad people who make the revolutions?" Right? He was imagining and wishing for a revolution of God's love and goodness by true Jesus followers that would take the world by storm the way that Hitler's Nazism took Germany by storm. The pastor says, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. Jesus describes the growth process. And it's a process. It's a process. Sometimes we may see in our own lives or in the lives of those that we're praying for and planting seeds in, we may see what looks like just a fruitless stalk growing. We may be tempted to complain about the fruitlessness. But rather than complain about it, just keep watering it with prayer. Just keep watching and see what God is doing in a life. We may look at the current state of the kingdom of God in the world and ask if God really knows what he's doing, right? But he does. We may only see the stalk, or we may only see the head and no fruit. But when the time is right, the kingdom of God will come into its greatest moment of fruitfulness. And we await the great harvest when Jesus comes, don't we? The second parable of the mustard seed, I won't take very long on this, but the second parable of the mustard seed speaks to the smallest seed. He says that the mustard seed is the smallest of all seeds. It's a tiny, tiny little seed. And yet in comparison, out of that seed comes the largest plant in the garden, a mustard plant, bush, that is big enough for birds to come and land in it and make nests in it. Right? Speaking of the smallest sacrifice, Jesus said, unless a seed goes in the ground and dies, he was speaking about sacrifice. Unless the seed goes in the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. Adoniram Judson is one of the first missionaries. He and his wife actually, three wives eventually, because his wives died. But Adoniram Judson was one of the first missionaries out of the U.S. to go to Asia. He first went to Burma in 1813. And he went with the goal of translating the Bible into Burmese language and winning 100 people to Christ. Adoniram preached and taught and worked for 6 years without having a single person come to Christ. I think I might have been thought about giving up then. I don't know about you, right? 6 years he preached and worked and toiled. Not one person came to Christ, but then one person surrendered to Christ. In 1819, first person came to Christ. But because of his perseverance in the faith, because he didn't give up in those 6 years, by the time he died in 1850, there were 63 churches and 7,000 followers of Christ that came from his ministry. That's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. But one of those seeds fell into the life of a young man named Kotabu, I think. I don't know how to pronounce it. And he was from the Karen tribe, and he began sharing the gospel among his people. And over the next few years, 800 churches were planted, and 100, before Adoniram Judson died, 150,000 Karen people came to Christ. One little mustard seed. I'm sure when Adoniram led that young man to Jesus, he had no idea that that little tiny mustard seed would grow and become a massive movement among a people group for the kingdom. Jesus' kingdom is on the move, folks. And it isn't on the move because we power up and we tell everybody what, you know, they ought to get their lives right with Jesus. And we've got a louder voice than everybody else. But it's on the move when we plant seeds and love people and live our life with Jesus at the center, and we let his kingdom have its way in us, and we live that out before the world around us. And before we know it, the seeds from our lives begin to germinate and grow. God has a work to do in us and through us to change a region. Amen. I'm going to invite the team to come up. I'm going to ask you to stand. So folks, I want to encourage you as we get ready to close today. God has started something in you. He made the promise that he who began a good work in me, in you, will be. Everybody say will be. Not might be, could be, should be, will be. Faithful to complete it, right? Faithful to complete it until the day of Christ. Why the day of Christ? Because when that day comes, woo is right. the work will be completed in us, right? What is the kingdom like? It's like a seed that grows in me. I make room for him to have his way, for Jesus to be king in me. Right? That's what the kingdom of God is about, is Jesus being king in me. Jesus is never going to strong arm you into letting him be king. The seed needs to grow from the inside. And then as that kingdom seed grows in me, as I make room for what he wants to do, my life begins to actually produce amazing fruit. And I plant seeds. I plant seeds. I plant seeds. I plant seeds. And I don't try to control them. I don't try to make it happen. I plant seeds. I plant seeds. Father, we thank you for your work in our lives, for your work through our lives, for the ways that you are moving your kingdom movement in us and through us. Have your way in me, Lord. Have your way in me, King Jesus. So I want out of my life to come the kind of fruit that actually germinates and grows. Pray that you would give us strength and wisdom and courage and faithfulness as a church to be sowers of seed, to just be out there doing it. God, your kingdom is on the move in this region. Whether we can see it or not, we might just see the stalk growing and nothing else, but you are on the move. So we give you thanks. Have your way in me, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God bless you. I want to encourage you, if there's an area in your heart where you know you need to do business with the Lord, area that you need to surrender to him, as the team leads in worship, I encourage you to come find a place in business with Jesus. Give it to him. Give it to him. If you would like prayer for anything, we have a team of people who believe that God answers prayer and God does miracles today. So I encourage you to come on up and receive prayer this morning. God bless you. We'll see you, some of you, tonight. I encourage you to join us for worship tonight at 6 o'clock. God bless you.